Milk as a bookie. Dennis, how you doing, man?
Bill, how are you?
I'm okay. Okay, so I don't want to go over 60 minutes, so we're going to wait and start at the exact second that we finish. No, I'm joking. Can we? Is it time?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right, guys, have at it.
We've read the reaction the school had to the notice of allegations. I just wonder personally how you feel having your reputation questioned like that.
The way I look at this is I believe that my job as the University of Kansas coach is to be the caretaker in the time in which I'm there as of the in my biased opinion, the most historic basketball program in the country based on all the tradition and history. And it's also my job not only to promote that, but to protect those that have given their heart and soul to the place that came before us. That is what my concern would be, as opposed to my personal my legacy or whatever. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I'm old and getting older, obviously, by the day in some ways. But I do not feel that I'm even at a point in time in my career where I'm even remotely concerned about a legacy. But I am concerned about the state of our program and certainly how others view that. And so that's been my concern. When you care about something so much and you love something so much and you've given basically your your own way, your heart and soul to a place for a period of time like we have, you know, how could it not impact you personally in some way? But it's also motivated me too. So there'll be a silver lining, I believe, at some point in time. It's not now, but certainly I do believe there'll be one at some point in time.
That makes it sound like, Bill, that you assume when this is all said and done, you and Kansas will prevail in this and that.
There's no question. Yeah. I mean, prevail. I mean, there's been a lot of things that's happened in college athletics over time, in which, you know, you look back 5 years from now or 5 years after that fact, and you say, well, they went through some stuff, and we're going through some stuff now, and absolutely, Kansas will always prevail. Always. And I like to think that I will as well, but I think the school is obviously much more important than an individual is. But there is 100% confidence that Kansas will prevail and it will not lose any of the tradition-rich thoughts of how this university and what it's meant to our game over time. That will not ever be affected.
Well, I want to give you a chance to answer this directly. I know it's been sort of addressed in some of the statements, but have you ever arranged for or requested payments from TJ Gasnola or anyone for any of your prospects, players, or their affiliates?
That's a fair question, and it has been answered. And I'm not going to talk, and I have answered that, and adamantly so, but I'm not going to rehash what I've answered. I have been told that there is no other comments after the school and myself did their initial comment after the NRA. There will not be any comments until the proper time comes, and certainly not address any details, and that will not happen at this time. But the question that you ask, it's been answered in emphatic form.
Can you say yes or no?
I can say yes. I'll refer to my prior statements, absolutely.
Bill, is it distracting sometimes that you get other programs and you guys are always the ones that are mentioned, and then you had to go through this last year at the same exact time in the media day, and now this you're going through it again? Is there any type of distraction that it's always Kansas' name brought up?
It seems like to me it's been Kansas' name brought up for not just this. There's always seems like there's something, but not negative. I mean, there's fighting to get a kid eligible. There's some uncertainties with all programs moving forward. There's coaches here right now that don't even know who their full roster is going into this season. That is something that happens in college athletics. Last year, obviously, it was a distraction because at this particular moment last year, if I'm not mistaken, the trial was going on, and so naturally this would be the the talk of what's going on. And so I understand that. And I understand that the media has a job to do, and they've got to ask questions, and they got to ask questions that that certainly they feel that needs to be answered. And I do believe I've addressed the questions that have been asked of me in every manner that I can address them at this time. That's it. So is it a distraction? It's not for our players. I guarantee I can't speak to these three dudes, but I would think that they would say, Coach said he'd handle all this stuff. This is, you know, we're just going to play. And I do think from a unification standpoint, I do think it's brought us together in a way where maybe, hey, let's all go, you know, fight for each other even harder than what we normally would. But I don't like it. But it's something we got to deal with, and it's not something the players need to deal with. It's something that I got to deal with, and I've learned to deal with it, I think, much better over the past year.
How often are you dealing with it or updated on the response and things like that? I mean, is it daily or is it weekly? Or?
Well, it's not daily. The information is in the hands of attorneys.
Right.
And they're the ones that'll create the response. It won't be the basketball coach.
Sure.
So you know, at some point in time, I may be involved, but I haven't been involved hardly
oh,
at all.
Yet.
Not hardly at all up until this point.
You said, Coach, the series with Missouri. How did that all come about, and were you on board from the very beginning?
Well, going back to 2012, I wasn't on board. But I do think that there was never hard feelings like we hate them, we're going to do this to do, you know, the sentiment that I had, and I think that it's kind of lost, is the same sentiment that everybody else at our school had, was anybody can do what is best for them, but if that affects how somebody reacts to it, that's their business too. So Missouri did what they felt like was best for them in 2012, which I got good, that's fine. And we did what we thought was best for us at that time. The thing that has happened is this, and this is evident to me. I miss the game. I miss being at a place where I love playing in games that have national implication. And the one thing about it is, even if it's a rivalry game, and even if we're both not ranked, it will have that same feel of national implications. So I love playing in the games that matter the most, and this game matters to our fan base as much as anybody. But that wasn't enough to get me to want to do it before. But the when we played the disaster relief game, what would they call it, showdown relief game, and this place sold out 19 in 41 minutes and raised all that money for a game that didn't matter. It didn't matter who won. And you still, everybody left out of there. It was a win-win is the way I felt, and I certainly felt the same way. So I kind of started thinking about it some. And then the last thing is, and this is true if you understand scheduling at all, scheduling's changed. You know, it used to be you have 16 league games, and so you have the opportunity to schedule 15. Now you have most leagues are going to 20 league games, and so the teams that we would be trying to schedule in their conference are playing 20. And then how many other games are scheduled for them already? Three for an exempt tournament, one for ACC Challenge, one for a Big East Challenge, one for a Champions Classic. And all of a sudden, now you're getting to just guarantee games. So the opportunity to have games like this, unless they're already built in, are not as apparent as what they were in the past. So I think it's a win for everybody. I do. We did it because it was good for us, but I think it'll be good for the city as well.
You said the NCAA situation was motivating you. How so? How is it?
I think whenever I would say anyone, but I can't speak to anyone, but with me, whenever I feel like that if I have to pass a test when I was in college and there was pressure on to graduate, you had to do this, your focus would be greater at that moment, at least in my world, to do as well on that, as opposed to, hey, you can make a B or C, it doesn't really matter, or whatever. I feel like that I'm taking a final test. So my focus is locked in on this year's team. So I do think that. I do think that'll help. That's probably a terrible analogy. I just thought of that off the top of my head, which I'm not very good at doing.
What we know about the case is based on the text messages and what's come out in the federal trial.
Yeah.
So if we had access to all of your correspondence, if we had the full context of the conversations you had, what would we know about you and how you conduct business?
I'm not going to speak to, like I said, I'm not going to speak to any details concerning the case, but I do, to speak to your last point without going into details of the case, anybody that's ever played for me or worked for me knows how I go about my business. And I'm very proud of how we conducted our business over time, and that hasn't altered at all in the time in which I've been a basketball coach.
Coach, you mentioned you thought Kansas would prevail as a university, the program.
Positively. I mean, we're going through some stuff now.
Is there a real fear that there could be postseason ban, things like that? And can you still prevail if something like that even happens?
I'm not going to speak to any details. Well, that's a question that I think is a legitimate question. But if you go back and look at history, you would know the answer to that if you just look at history. And without giving examples, but there's been some teams in recent memory that have gone through that are top 10 programs, maybe top 5 preseason this year. So I don't believe that would be true. Kansas is bigger than Bill Self. Kansas is bigger than any player that's ever played here. Kansas is bigger than any team that's ever played here. When you talk about Kansas, you're talking about a whole different realm of now you could say an individual, will Bill Self prevail? But don't throw in we're our school. This is 120 years of excellence that will not be judged by this moment in time, regardless of how it comes out, and we're very confident that we do know how it will turn out.
Since you raised the question, will Bill Self prevail?
I was asked that earlier, and I'd say, hey, our chancellor and our athletic director and our basketball program, we're totally aligned. And the thing about it is, I feel totally confident. I feel 100% confident that I'm going to be the coach here for a long time. I feel totally confident that if I'm not the coach here for a long time, it'll be because I choose to leave to be the, not to be the coach here. So, but you know that's a question for our athletic director or for our chancellor more so than me.
You had said last in the springtime, I think you weren't someone who's going to cut and run if there's any trouble. That's what you're talking about now. You're going to see this through, however long it takes to get to the end of the investigation and all that.
Yeah, I won't cut and run. I've never heard that expression before, but I won't cut and run. I know what's transpired, and even better yet, I know what has not transpired. I'm not running from this at all.
But Devon Dawes, is there a level of concern? Or
Shea goes right back to basketball. That's good. That's good.
You said 3 or 4 days. Do you think it'll linger past that?
I don't have any idea. When Silvio fell on him yesterday, Silvio's a big dude, and when he fell pretty hard on him yesterday, I thought, oh, geez. And then he couldn't really shake it off, and then after a while, the pain subsided a little bit. So I think based on X-ray and MRI, they think it's going to be short term.
How does it look now compared to where they were in late night scrimmage?
Did we have a late night? I think that we're better, but I'm not sure that we're any good yet, because I thought we were awful that night. I think there's two things that have to happen for us to be good. I think, A, we got to be able to shoot the ball consistently so we can take advantage of our bigs. But B, we got to have one of our bigs be able to guard a guard, because most teams are going to play small. And we haven't shown yet in practice that we're consistent at doing either one of those things. So,
beyond Devon, Isaiah, would be, I guess if you were crafting a four-guard lineup to put the most shooting around Doak, who would you feel most confident in to start the year?
Well, I would be most confident in putting our best players out there. So our best players would be, without question, Marcus and Devon and Ochai. So if we were going to play a fourth guard, you would think that Isaiah would have the leg up just because of experience. But he hadn't been healthy yet. He's tweaked his hamstring, and so I don't even know. And he actually tweaked it yesterday again. So I don't know what his availability will be even tomorrow in tomorrow's exhibition game. But I would say those would have the best shot right now.
Bill, one of the possible penalties on the table is a year suspension by the head coach because of the Rice Commission recommendations. You're not going to cut and run on KU. You have full confidence KU would stick with you if it came to that?
Well, you're looking at I haven't studied it, but you're looking at a positively worst case scenario.
Right.
I mean, positively worst case scenario. So, no, I don't think that hasn't even been discussed. But I don't believe that to be the case at all. But that's a question for the AD.
One of the big arguments, not about the NCAA investigation, one of the big arguments that the federal prosecutors made in securing convictions in this case was that the schools, including Kansas, were harmed by what happened. Would you say that Kansas was harmed, and if so, how?
I will not say. I'm not going to speak to anything regarding the case, and it's so easy to get words twisted when you talk about that. But the best thing for me to say is we're going to withhold comments about anything going on directly with the case until the proper time. So I'm sure that'll be addressed at the proper time, but not now.
For Marcus handling the ball more, is it like riding a bike? Because he has experience doing it, not so much at Kansas, but when he's called upon.
I think so. He's really good with the ball, and we've been shown last year, and even the year before, he's really good with the ball. But he was actually better because other teams would put a big guy on him to guard him, so he was more apt to be able to beat people off the bounce because of that. And now they'll have a guard on him most of the time, so it's a little different. But he's good with the ball. He is. I don't know that he's a point guard, but he certainly has point guard skill. And he and Devon, without question, are the two best with the ball that we have in our program. If Devon can't play even tomorrow night, Marcus needs to be in the game because we really don't have a secondary ball handler behind him that could run a team.
You mentioned earlier about your success recruiting the early signing period. Does that maybe vindicate it's not the right word? Does that kind of help you feel, okay, this is not really having an impact when you go about on recruiting?
Oh, no. I wasn't implying that at all. What I was implying is, you know, we have attempted since I've been here, and Roy did the same thing and Larry did the same thing, to recruit at the highest level. And when you recruit at the highest level, that means you're going against other people that are really good at recruiting at the highest level as well. And we positively don't get more than we get. We lose more than we get. And so there's been some years where we're one of two with four of the top 20 players in the country, and you can come up empty. And there's some years where we may be one of two with three of the top 70 players in the country, and you get all three. So everything is kind of relative. This year has been a year that, and I can't talk to specifics, but this has been a year where obviously we have obstacles. There's always obstacles, but we have obstacles. But I do think we're in position to have one of our better recruiting classes. So vindication, absolutely not. But it does take pressure off to having a good spring, which we've had. You know, we've obviously had to do that last year, signing three kids late.
If Devon's out tomorrow, is that oddly kind of a good timing thing to kind of experiment? But
no,
as a point guard,
I would.
Some other guys.
Yeah, I would rather him be out in practice and playing the games,
right,
and we can experience in practice. But what it does though, it puts you in a situation where you're not going to play anything like you're going to play when you play a real game. So, you know, I don't know how much it'll help, but certainly it'll give somebody some experience, whether it be Christian or whoever, getting a chance to play some emergency point.
Would Ochai do any of that?
Probably Christian more than Ochai, I would think. We've actually practiced with Christian. You know, when you practice, and you bring up a good point, Ben, but when you practice, we try to keep our best guys together so you could have – or at least our starters together, so you could have Devon and Marcus and Ochai together. Well, that group, Ochai's your third handler. And then who do you have on the other team? Well, Christian, go play point. So he's actually worked on doing the stuff more so than Ochai has. So,
what are some of the specifics where Silvio has gotten better since the last time we saw him?
I think he's more skilled. I think he can still be out of control. I think he can still be careless. But I do think he's got an energy level to him that's better than what it consistently was. I think, you know, the first time where he played, you know, he's in high school and then immediately comes here, and then we're expecting him to help us win games in mid-January, and that just didn't happen. And because the adjustment was too much. But by the end of the season, he was actually pretty good, and and helped us win. He was great in the Big 12 tournament, but I think he's a better basketball player as opposed to just being an athlete. So,
what have you learned maybe the last couple of years or really throughout your career about folding so many newcomers into teams? Second year in a row, you've had a bunch of new guys, new faces, and I know you have some returning guys too, but is there anything you learned about that?
I actually think that we've got it easier than most, than some schools. Some schools reload every year, and it seems like to me my best teams have been ones where we had some returning guys, where the anchors of our team, our foundation was obviously the returning guys, and this is another year like that. But hey, going back to the spring, if you really studied us and followed us, Doak we didn't know was coming back, Silvio we didn't know would come back, Devon we didn't know would come back, we didn't have Tristan, we didn't have Jalen, and we didn't have Isaiah. Now, we knew we'd lose Diedrich, and we knew we'd lose Quentin. At least we thought we would, Quentin, to the pros. But I mean, so I feel really fortunate about where we're at. And I do think with four newcomers, even though that seems like a lot in the big scheme of things, we've replaced five starters here like three times.
Yeah.
So we actually have more coming back than what we've had in other years.
You saw Quentin was ruled eligible.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? I mean, it sounded like you guys were helping or cooperating with that.
Well, I think he deserves to be eligible, and I'm very happy about that, and I hope he knocks it out of the park. We all do,
right.
And certainly he's playing for a guy that will get the most out of him. So, yeah, I think that's very positive.
After the Snoop Dogg event and the video that you played around, there was a lot of criticism that it looked like you were trying to thumb your nose at the NCAA. Yeah. What's your response to that?
Well, that I'll speak to. That is absolutely 100% false. There was nobody snubbing nose. Being reflective and looking back now, when somebody handed me a T-shirt, I wish I'd thought about it before I put it on. When somebody handed me a chain, because we're trying to simulate something, I wish I'd thought about it before I put it on. No, there was no intent on that whatsoever. And if you know me or have followed how we do late night and things like that, I do stuff every year concerning that. I mean, I do spoofs off of whatever, and so that was a spoof off of something that that, you know, Adidas sponsors the event. So that was why they handed it to me, and I didn't even think twice before I put it on, which hindsight being clear, I wish I would have.
Can you tell me about the moment when you realized that maybe it wasn't a good thing to have done?
Which one?
Both of them.
Well, the second one, I actually really enjoyed the time that I had and the players had with Snoop. I actually did. I did not know exactly everything that was going on, and so it was something in no way do I am pointing fingers or placing blame. I think it was something that maybe, as a department moving forward, we'll communicate within the departments much clearer and much better. But I'm not going to talk about what happened within the walls of our athletic department. And I know we all accept responsibility on whatever takes place, and certainly I have to, because obviously it's a basketball type of thing.
Huggy's known to make fashion statements here at Big 12 media.
I thought his performance today was pretty weak, to be honest with you. I didn't think he brought his A game at all. Well, you know, I mean, it's one thing to wear a vest, but to come without a jacket, I didn't think that was a great look. But because he's brought the jacket with him in the past, but he did bring the shoes, and the tie did match the shoes, so that was impressive.
Would you ever rock a festive vest like?
If I thought I could pull it off, I probably would. But nobody, and thankfully nobody ever will, purchase me a KU vest to wear at a media day.
When will you decide on Mitch?
Probably not officially till the Duke game, although to my understanding he will not play in the exhibition games, because that would forfeit the exhibition games, because just because he doesn't play, that doesn't mean a final decision has been made. So. Anybody else? Sam, you got anything for me?
I do know, Coach. I know. You can't talk specifically. You picked up two new guys. Are you surprised that you were able to get those guys so quickly? I mean, with everything, or did you think it would maybe take a little bit longer for the first one to pop?
I was really. I mean, I've been happy with how recruiting's gone so far. The one thing that through the recruiting stuff that we have done is, I mean, there's been a lot of questions that have been asked. There's been a lot of answers given. There's been total transparency about where we see the situation and all that stuff, and where it's been reported, obviously, because everything that has been reported is hand delivered to each recruit and their family and the decision making people with them. So they've read more stuff about me or us than what I have, and so those things all have to be addressed. So to experience a little bit of early success is very positive, but I'm believing we're not done. So I still think there's a chance for us to do some more good before too long.
Have you flat out lost a guy because of the investigation?
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
In this cycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
Because negative recruiting is bad enough in the best of times.
Yeah, we have. But we've also lost guys for different reasons in years past too.
There's right.
But we have. We have. But you just got to grind a little bit and maybe try to work a little smarter and target a little differently and stuff like that. And hopefully, it won't be a long impact, you know. But yeah, sure, we have.
You say you have. I mean, is it because that recruit or family specifically said it was because of the investigation? Or how do you know that's why you lost that person?
Because of totally transparent conversations with the recruits and families. Absolutely, yeah.
Has your overall sales pitch changed, recruits?
No, we still got, you look at it, we're still the second winningest program of all time. And Dr. Naismith was our first coach. And if I'm not mistaken, Adolph Rupp and D. Smith did play there. And Wilt played there. So we've had success of unbelievable academic success on the court, winning, exposure, interest, resources, quality of life, culture. There's so many things that few programs could probably line them all up and match all of them as well as what we do. There's are some out there, obviously. You know, there's a ton of good places out there, but I don't know that anybody could say they actually do it a lot better in all those respective areas. So that hasn't changed.
You just gave it to me. We're basically right there.
Well, I gave you a small piece of it, but certainly that's something that still interests a lot of people.
What do you know about the timeline in terms of the investigation and possible sanctions?
I do not know much about that. The one thing I do know that I'll talk to is that we got 90 days to respond, and then they have 60 days or whatever to respond to our 90 days, and then I do not know the timeline on what happens after that. I really don't.
In terms of the response, is that going to be just a reaction and maybe a description of what's already out there, like an argument over the characterization of mm-hmm. what's out there? Or do you and Kansas have additional evidence that you're providing to the NCAA to try to prove your case?
I think that would be a question that will be answered whenever you read it, like everybody else does, because we're not going to talk about that right now. And that's in the attorney's hands. And certainly not in my hands. But I'm not going to speak to what our strategy will be or what we're bringing or anything like that, because to be candid with you, I really don't know everything. I think the attorneys know far more than me.
You've said you can't talk about it. Is there a point where you want to talk about it?
For going on maybe not quite 2 years, but yeah, I'd like to be able to speak about this. And at some point in time, I will be able to, but I can't yet. It's not the right thing to do. It doesn't follow NCAA protocol. Regardless of the situation, you know, we can't be upset. I can't be upset because we're in this situation because of something that happened in federal court. I totally get that. Questions have to be asked. Policies have to be followed, and we've got to do that. There's no way for us to skirt that in any way, shape, or form, nor will we, and I certainly won't.
What's your thought on how the how the federal case and then the NCAA's actions afterward have affected college basketball on a big scale?
Well, on a big scale, I do think that on a big scale, it certainly brought attention to some things that need to be addressed, which will be good for the game over time. I do believe that. As far as immediately, I don't know what the impact would be as far as how it's changed thoughts and everything like that. Now, there's legislation in place that has changed how some things have been done in the past that obviously is being done differently. Not saying it was illegal in the past, but just some things that will be done differently. And I think it still remains to be seen what the impact that will be positively or negatively over time.
With so many bigs, I mean, can you
really? You know, you say so many bigs, but Mitch Richards.
Yeah, that's
true. You got
true.
Three.
But
so
relatively speaking,
yeah, that's exactly right.
Compared to what you've been used to, can Udoka be more aggressive as a result, especially defensively?
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that Doak will make is, you know, Doak's not going to make his living being a prolific, skilled five man, but what he can make it is being an unbelievable rim protector, ball screen defender, rebound outside his area, all those things. And I do think when you're nervous about fouling, I do think that you go at 90% sometimes instead of 100. So I do think this will be good for him. Yeah.
What do you think with him? Is his mind completely clear from injury? You know what I mean? Is there going to be just a little bit of a?
You know what? I think it is, Sam. The thing about it is with his injuries, and two of the freakish things that you could ever have happen. I mean, how do you tear a ligament in the exact same spot on your right hand as you do in your left hand, and totally unrelated stuff? I mean, what would it be that would cause this? And nobody thinks so. It's just freakish. One of them, you get your hand caught in a jersey. Another one, guy just slaps down. And so I do think there is a thought of being nervous about that. But that thought, I think, subsided in the last month or two, because during the whole summer, he didn't go at it like he could. He didn't try to dunk the ball in the same way. He didn't try to block shots as much because he was trying to get in shape, and he was still cautious. I don't see that being a factor now at all. I think he's playing with the free mind.
What do you? I mean, he didn't expect to be here as a senior. You guys didn't expect to have him here as a senior. What have you seen?
You know, he just turned 20 last month, though. So.
Yeah. I mean, but what have you seen from him in terms of, you know, stepping into that role and?
Well, did you guys talk to him at all today?
Yeah, he was good today.
He actually talked.
Yeah, he was really.
You know, so I mean, it was actually a two-way conversation.
Right.
I would think so. He's matured so much and feels so much more comfortable. Before he was nervous being around, and now he's actually at home. So I think confidence goes a long ways towards performance, and he's got so much more confidence.
Big picture, what do you think could lead to more change in college basketball? The trial, things come from the trial, or California's law and other states' law about athlete rights and image likeness?
For the biggest, did you say the biggest?
Like, what do you think would have the biggest impact of the two?
I think the biggest impact is the fair pay to play, because that impacts every student athlete, men and women. I mean that impacts the amateurism and how you view it, or the definition of amateurism. That impacts definitions of a lot of different things. Whereas obviously the trial obviously would certainly impact in a way and third party involvement and things of that. But the Fair Pay to Play Act, the way I see it, now they're both big, and obviously one's very big to us.
Right.
The Fair Pay to Play Act impacts every potential student athlete moving forward in all sports, and I think it's actually positive, because I think it puts it on the front burner. And gives the NCAA an opportunity to act in a timely manner to try to, you can't get out in front of it because it's been talked about a long time, but to try to remedy it and come to solutions and gather evidence to come to solutions in a timely manner, so it's not something that's just drug out over time. And then you have a uniform legislation as opposed to a state-to-state legislation, which would be absolutely awful for NCAA competition. you know, if you can do it in one state and can't do it in the other, you know, that would be something that wouldn't be positive for anybody that's trying to create any type of competitive balance.
Bill, what's fair in your mind in that space? Because you're at a high-profile university where guys could capitalize on it.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what's fair, because if you really think about it, what the potential could be, and you let your mind kind of go, the potential is endless on what could be done. I mean, would there ever be a car commercial or a sandwich shop or a dry cleaning commercial ever done without having a student athlete be your spokesperson? It would be. And then the thing that really makes it interesting to me, the way I read it, and you guys probably know far better than me, is if a school has an existing contract with some form of sponsor, then the individual that's coming in can't violate that contract, but they can take advantage of that contract. So now you got, you know...
That's California, Florida, I think, are written that way.
Yeah, but think of that impact. So now you got... For instance, a shoe company, a guy can benefit and be on contract with the shoe company where the other shoe companies can't touch him. Well, now, you know, talk about high school recruiting, you know, now, you know, as far as third parties having, you know, wanting to have, now whether or not they do or not, wanting to have influence where you can actually get to somebody that you would think would be marketable. But you also look at it, by then, in 22, those kids may not be going to college. They may be going straight to the league, so it may be a totally... I just think it's so abstract right now that who knows what it would be. But I do think there's got to be very bright people can figure this out in a way that saves competitive balance, that saves the NCAA in a way where it's still something that every kid that doesn't go straight to professional ranks still dreams of going and participating and competing and give college kids the same opportunities, student athletes, as all the other college kids on campus have. You know, if you're a violinist and you have a scholarship, that doesn't mean you can't go out and make money on your own and that kind of stuff, even though it's, I mean, so why wouldn't student athletes have similar opportunities that normal students would have? Even though it's a little bit, maybe sometimes those other students don't have the same opportunities or visibility, but it is true. I mean, I'd just like to see something consistent where all students have similar opportunities.
In an ironic twist, what you're talking about would make some of the stuff that happened in the FBI case above board and legal.
But that'll be determined at a later time, but you know, that would be an interesting twist, but certainly it doesn't change what's happening right now, because obviously that's not close to going into effect. But maybe within a year or two or whatever, who knows?
Bill, with the new 3-point line, got a chance to practice with it now. Is there anything that you're seeing from it in the way you think might influence?
We have not changed one bit how we practiced, but I do think, and I doubt the teams have either. I mean, you still want, you know, like to me. So we're gonna in October go under ball screens when we're teaching aggressiveness and energy and being all this. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't let them go under ball screen until we get to December or something. You know, just because you want that mindset. But I do think defenses and everything will be tweaked more, and you'll play the scout reports more than we ever have concerning shooters and 3-point line. So I do think it's going to be a big impact, and I don't think it'll affect really good shooters much, but I think it is going to affect average shooters a lot more.
It's meant to space the floor, but do you think it could have the opposite effect because people will maybe sink in a little bit more because not as many guys can shoot out there?
I think now the worst shot you can take, you know, before the worst shot you could take was 19 foot 8 inches, mm-hmm. and now the worst shot you can take is what, 20 foot 8 inches or whatever. So I do think teams will defend a little bit differently to try to force teams to do things that they would want to do. So you would think compact, you know, against some teams may be very beneficial. So with us, I'm anticipating teams playing zone. So, you know, if teams play zone, we got to be ready to attack the zone. And the best way to attack the zone, best zone offense I've ever seen, is having four shooters around it. You know, so regardless of how good your offense is. So I do think it's going to impact it. And would you rather see a guy making a 19-foot two or a guy making a 2-foot two? So I do think it could impact it quite a bit.
Where is your defense? I mean, today and also in terms of what you see potential for this team?
I think that we're actually decent except in one spot. I think that I don't think our bigs guard on the perimeter worth a flip. I think it's not their fault. It's my fault because I haven't put them in enough situations where they need to read and react and all that stuff. But you know, you play good defense and you allow a shooter to be your pressure release every single possession. He's gonna make five threes a game, you know. And if guys can't get out there to him, so that's something we have to get a lot better at.
Do you think this team has big-time potential defensively, though?
I think this team has big-time potential to do certain things great defensively. But defending the perimeter four-man, like we had Shady, never an issue. Never an issue. But Shady was also different. You got Josh, never an issue. But it's more an issue now when you're basically playing 2-5 men. You know, even though Silvio's technically a four, but playing David and Silvio together, or Udoka and David, or Udoka and Silvio together, you're basically going to have 2-5 men, and neither one's used to doing that.
When numbers change the game, specifically 2 versus 3, the long two, do you think overall good changes for the sport, bad changes, just the quality of basketball, how you enjoy coaching?
I think that to kind of the points we talked about earlier, I think whatever we think is good today may not be what we think it is 2 or 3 years or 5 years from now. So I think it's too early to say good changes, but I would say whenever you make rule changes and force people to be something a little bit different, they usually conform and get good at that. And I'm sure that'll be the case with this as well. And if that's the case, definitely a good rule change.
How is everything that's transpired with the investigation and the event and all of that affected the relationship that you've had with Adidas and the access that Adidas has had to the program?
With me personally, I don't know that it's really changed much with Adidas. From a standpoint of, you know, talking to higher ups in the deal, I didn't do that much anyway to begin with, so I don't know that the relationship has changed much with me personally. Now there's people that work for Adidas that obviously I haven't talked to, you know, because of obvious reasons, but as far as the relationship and how they service our school and how they utilize our school to promote their own brand, I don't know how that's changed. I think that would be a better question for somebody in the administration, because I really don't operate at that level.
Understanding that we're limited to what's come out in the federal case, the text message and the testimony about the conversations you may have had with Gus Nola, how typical is that of a conversation that a head coach would have with a shoe company rep?
I'll refrain from going into detail, but I will say this. I don't think it's unusual to have conversations with people involving grassroots basketball at all. I don't think that is unusual at all, and I'm speaking to that as a very broad answer to a very broad statement. But that's something that would occur a lot at every place.
Where do you draw the line in those conversations?
The conversations, the thing that you're asking me is something that we're strongly going to fight and defend. I don't want to give an answer that gives the appearance that I'm admitting to something that has taken place, because I don't believe the conversations were inappropriate.
if you could go back and change anything about what happened with all the late night stuff, would you change anything?
I will say this. I have I've had a chance to actually reflect and self-evaluate. I do believe that there were some things that could have been better discussed within all the departments that I wish would have taken place. I'll just leave it at that.
Some decisions that were made by somebody else.
I'm not going to throw anybody on the bus, I just don't think all the departments were on the same page.
Talk about the series with Mizzou. Can you just talk a little bit about Konzo Martin and your relationship with him?
Well, I've known Konzo for a while, but not really personally well. You know, we did the relief game, and which I thought was great, and he was great with that deal. And I remember calling him and said, "Hey, Konzo, I got this idea. You want to do it?" And he's like, "Yeah, let's do it." And so I haven't even talked to Konzo about this other thing. We haven't talked at all. I have an unbelievable amount of respect for him because, A, I watched him as a player pretty close, and I thought he's a terrific player, hard-nosed, tough. And I've watched his development as a coach and being at Illinois, obviously, with Purdue being one of our big rivals. I was very aware of everything going on there. And then to hear his personal story of some of the personal things that he's gone through and struggles he's gone through health-wise and things like that. He's a remarkable guy. And I actually hope that he's really successful. I really do. It's a little bit different for me now in that when you coach against somebody twice a year in a league and they're your hated rival, you really don't care if they win that many games. I mean, I didn't really lose a lot of sleep if and they didn't lose any sleep if we didn't as well. But when they're outside the league and you look at it, more from a personal standpoint, saying, "Man, he's a good dude. You know, hey, I hope he does well. Just don't ever do well at our expense." And now it's a situation where now that has to hold true. It's our job to make sure he doesn't do well at our expense. But that's what makes it fun too.
How much did that advantage that you guys played in, how much did that have an effect into this series coming together?
Quite a bit. Yeah. There's no question. That was a special day. And anybody that covers this on a – when was it? It was about this time, wasn't it? Early October? I mean, we've been practicing for 3 weeks. Both teams weren't any good. And you got 19,000 people packed in here thinking it was a Final Four atmosphere. It was really good. It was really cool. Yeah.
Preston versus Michael Porter, what do you think of when you go to the Border War?
Isn't that amazing? Both of them played great. Both of them played great. I hadn't thought about that. That'll give me something to reflect on the way home. Gary, you hadn't asked one question.
Maybe not.
No. Okay. But
I will ask something stupid. Who will you go with tomorrow? Three bigs or three guards?
Oh no, we're not going to play three bigs ever. I don't think. So fifth starter? You mean we could have tomorrow the fifth starter will Isaiah may not be able to go.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who it'll be. It'll either be Christian, Tristan, or Jalen. It'll be one of those three. So when your probable starters put seven guys out there, and five of them will start.
So one of those freshmen.
Yeah.
And so Silvio ahead of Dave right now. Silvio ahead of Dave?
I think it varies day to day.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it varies day to day. Dave's been really good.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about Dave.
Nobody.
But he's been really good at times, and Silvio's been really good at times. We just, neither one are probably quite as consistent. But they're also doing something they've never been asked to do.
Sure.
Play with the big.
Right.
So.
Right.
What's the best line you've heard from Les Miles so far since he's been at KU?
I don't know that I've heard many.
You haven't heard any lessisms?
No, not really. I need to follow it more closely. I haven't talked to Les in a couple of weeks, but I don't know. I don't know that I had been to a press conference or and I don't really watch that much TV these days. So I haven't seen very many of the Les isms.
I think he's been good after games.
He's really good after games.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to me.
Yeah. I know one thing. We've gotten better though. Gosh dang, have we gotten better?
Yeah.
It's proud to see as a fan that you can see that we're on an uptick and I think it's pretty remarkable in a short amount of time. And you know, like James Cilinski, you know, he's the only player in KU history, if I'm not mistaken, to score in the Final Four and score a touchdown. You know, and so I talked to him a couple of times, and he says he's having a blast. You know, so the kids are obviously having fun and totally respectful of what they're trying to do down there. So there's some positive energy going on.
Yeah.